saying every place, because there are many, many wonderful churches where the Word of God is being preached and taught, and praise God for that. Amen? But sin is not always talked about a lot lately. We don't hear a lot about it. Messages aren't really preached on it. There's books out there, but you don't see many books on sin. Amen? Because we've relegated sin to something we don't want to look at or talk about. It's like something that, you know, you lose 100 pounds like I could use losing. And what you do is you take your clothes and put them in a closet someplace. So you don't see those old clothes. You want to forget all about those old days. Well, that's not the way to do it where sin is concerned. Satan tried to get Eve and Adam to understand that when he said to them, "Oh, you shall not surely die," they were trying to minimize. He was trying to minimize what sin would do to them. And we're still doing those things. We're still looking at sin as something that was past, and we're past, you know, we've been set free from that, and God dealt with our sin at the cross at Calvary. All things are true. But we also know that he said, if you say you don't sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Amen. Who's he talking to? The church. And then we come up with this great idea, which is God's idea. It's a great idea. 1 John. We all know that scripture. Go there with me for a second. 1 John chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verse 8, let's start in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Then he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which is absolutely 100% true. It's foolish not to, you know, if your car starts knocking in the engine, you might want to go get it checked and see if you got oil in it. It's silly to keep going without the oil. When you get into sin, the oil of the Holy Spirit isn't going to keep operating in your life the way you would like it to. You need to check the oil. I could put it this way. Hey, dipstick, how much oil's left? Amen? If we don't do those things and we ignore it, well, you know, and we are habit people, and we habitually return to that old way of living. Our own strength, our own wisdom, our own abilities, all the knowledge we've gained from 71 years, for others, whatever years you've been on this, you've gained all this knowledge. And what happens is we slowly return back to that old way of thinking. Because we take sin. Well, I confess my sin. Or we don't confess our sin. Confess your sins immediately. If you recognize you're there, you messed up, you missed the mark, whatever. Hey, if you haven't spent time with the Lord today, confess it to him and ask forgiveness. Okay. Amen. He said, confess your sins. He's faithful and just and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen? Now, go over to chapter 3 for a minute. Now, he's still, remember, St. John's, 1 John, he's still talking, writing in the same letter. Listen to what he says. And again, he's talking to the church. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Verse 4. And sin is lawlessness. We were in lawlessness before we came to Christ. When you sin, you enter into a lawlessness state. Amen? Don't ignore this. The Antichrist spirit, the devil spirit, will be right there, and he will say, "Oh, you're all right. You're all right." That first scripture we read in 1 John 1:9, it is not a get out of jail free card. which says to ourselves, well, it doesn't matter if I sin or not, I can just confess it and I'll be fine. No, that's not true. That is not true. It's not that way. God looks into the heart. Amen. He knows what you're thinking when you say that to yourself. He's not ignorant. He's not foolish. That's why many Christians, you see them weak and their lives are a mess and everything's going the wrong way, because they have not truly repented of sin. They just use that as a get out of jail free card. Well, God, I confess it. You have to now forgive me. Mm-mm. God looks at the heart. I'm going to show you in a minute. God looks at a heart. Now, this isn't my message yet, so. I'm serious about this. God started telling me this stuff, and I'm going, yes, Lord. And I have to check myself on these things. Is there things in my life that I still battle? Yes. But the key is this. I'm battling it.
Amen.
He told us last week in Romans 8, what did he say? Mortify the deeds of the body. Kill them. Don't just go along with them because it feels good or you think it's all right. God doesn't care about what goes on in the flesh. Yes, he does. His son died at the cross because of the works of the flesh of man, because the heart of man was wicked and deceitful above all things. And it keeps wanting to go back and justify themselves without the word of God. Without the Spirit of God. And when we do that, we're in danger. We are in a place where lawlessness can start to override the righteousness that was imputed towards us. Look what I'm using the Word of God. I'm not talking about other things. Listen. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Who's he talking to? The church. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Yes, righteousness has been imputed to us. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And we became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. By the grace of God, by the mercy of God, that's where we entered into. But don't continue in the sins thinking that that will continue to be your righteousness without operating in righteousness. If I say I'm a man, then I'm going to act like a man, not like a woman. You understand? I'm a man. If I say I'm righteous, I need to act like I'm righteous. Now, I'm not saying that your acting will get you saved. I'm saying because you're saved, because you've been made righteous, because you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, now you start acting as if it's true. You deal with the sin. You don't ignore it. Amen. Look what he says. Whoever abides in him, verse 6, does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why you got saved. You were called and anointed. So that just like Jesus, the same anointing that was on the Master is on you. So that you can destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Sin. Right? Because listen to me. If he can get you comfortable in sin, he's got you. The devil's got you by the toe. I mean, he can grab you and tear you and move you around. And listen, he doesn't need a little sin. He said a little leaven. Leaven's a whole lump. We don't want to acknowledge that, but it's true. Again, I want you to understand something here. I'm going to reedify this. I'm going to keep saying it over and over and over. This is not the work of flesh that you can do this thing. It's a work of the Spirit and the Word of God. Amen. You cannot do it on your own. You cannot be righteous by your own righteousness. works. You're righteous because of what Christ did at the cross and your acceptance of his sacrifice, paying the debt for you, taking your sins and giving you his righteousness. That is true, 100%. And that's where we stand. But now we need to live as if it's true. Amen. We have to live our life not just on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whenever we do, on a daily basis. If you're struggling with something in your life, then you go to God and let him deal with you with it. You don't ignore it and push it aside and pretend it's not true. If you do, eventually it's going to cost you. Eventually it's going to affect your whole life. Not just a little bit. Sin doesn't just say, okay, I'll be sinful in this area and righteous in this area. It doesn't work that way. The devil will make you think so. Now, it's not, listen, again, none of this you're afraid of. You're not fearful. You're not going to be bound up by this. You're not going to look around, oh, what did I do wrong? Oh, what did I, no. I'm going to show you in a minute. This is so simple. All you have to get into a position where the enemy can't get into you. And this is all about the heart, my friends. It's got nothing to do with the flesh. The flesh is just a manifestation of what came out of the heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now listen, there's not one righteous outside the imputed righteousness of God through Christ his Son. There's nobody that we can say, oh, look at him, he's perfect. No, I'm not, you're not. No one is. Except the Master. But he wants us to become like him. While we're here, we sang a song, glorify him. You glorify him by your life, not just words. Words are cheap, easy. And that's where the hypocrites of the churches have affected the world. They talk about love, and then they curse somebody and tear somebody apart and gossip about somebody. And they say, hey, I'm a Christian. Don't claim it. If you're going to act that way, don't claim it. If you're going to go out and commit adultery, don't claim to be a Christian. Shut up. I got a car, and I didn't put people, all these Christians put fishes on their car. I didn't do that. I wasn't about to just claim to be a Christian and drive like I did sometimes. I'm getting better. I am. I really am getting better. You'd be surprised. I'm getting better. But I am. I've slowed down a lot. I have slowed down a lot. Amen. And that's the truth. But I'm telling you something, I got a long way to go. I'm not there yet. Because whether you believe it or not, if it says 55, that's the law. If you go 50 or 60, you go 60, that's lawlessness. Hey, I'm accused of it, and it's right. Well, that's the law of man. God told us to obey the law of the land. Well, I don't like that law. Yeah, there's a lot of laws of God I don't like. Because my flesh is trying to tell me I want to do this, but God is trying to tell me I want to do that. I have to make a choice. Yeah, but I tried it. It didn't work. If you try it, it won't work. But if you do it, it will. Doing it means that I'm not going to stop doing it. Trying it means I tried it, it didn't work, I'm not going to do it anymore. A lot of people try what God says, but never do what he tells them to do. He said, do not be hearers only, but doers of the word. We're triers. We try anything once. Amen? I've even tried some food that I will never try again. Amen? But you give me a good fillet of fish from McDonald's and French fries, I'll do it and do it and do it. Right? Come on now. It's the same thing with the Word of God. Same thing with the Spirit of God. Recognizing, well, I don't know what sin I have. Ask God. He'll show you. Amen. Yeah, but that's not right. I know I'm not. Yeah. When he starts showing you, don't deny it. Amen? Why? Because he's trying to get you to a place where not only can he pour out the blessings of heaven, but he can be glorified through your life. And when you glorify God, when you glorify God, you'll be telling people all over the place. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Amen. Amen? Let me finish this one section here. He said this, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. This came out of the same letter that said, confess your sins. That doesn't mean, look, confess your sins, absolutely 100%. But do not let sin get a comfortable place in you. Don't let it get comfortable. Don't get comfortable in your sin. Better get comfortable in his righteousness. When you deal with sin the way God tells us to mortify, to kill it, destroy the works of the flesh, destroy the deeds of the body, those things that go contrary to the Word of God, go contrary to the Spirit of God, do those things, watch what God will do. Now let me take you, keep in mind the scripture on confess your sins. Remember what I said to you, God looks at the heart. Amen? Go with me into, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I just want you to see how God looks at the heart. And the heart manifests the truth of what's going on inside of each individual. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's start in verse 9. Now I rejoice, Paul's writing, not that you were made sorry. In other words, he's saying, hey, look, I rejoice not that I caused sorrow to you because of my letter I wrote to you and trying to bring correction to your life. He said, I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. When you sin, there needs to be some form of sorrow attached with it. If there isn't, either get saved or ask God to help you. Amen? Listen to what he says here. But that your sorrow led to repentance, for you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. Hallelujah. For godly sorrow produces repentance. Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So there's two types of sorrow in the world. One is the godly sorrow and the worldly sorrow. Just like there's godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. There's sorrow. Let me put it this way. Worldly sorrow probably, at least this much I think is true. Worldly sorrow is I'm sorry I got caught. Amen? I'm sorry I got caught. And so that bothers you. Because there's always a price to pay when you get caught. Amen? But godly sorrow is between you and God. You recognize you did what you shouldn't have done. You've gone to God and said, Father, forgive me. I repent of my sins. Nobody else knows it. Nobody else sees it. Nobody else hears it. Just you and him. That's godly sorrow. But when there's godly sorrow with repentance, which godly sorrow produces repentance, as he says here, Let's go on. Let's go back to verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, verse 11, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. Okay? What diligence it produced in you. So the first thing it's going to do is produce a diligence. Amen? The effective fervent prayer. Diligence means continuation. Continuation of not doing it. It produced in you what clearing of yourselves. Remember what he said? Cleanse yourself of all unrighteousness. There's a washing that happens through the word of God. When you have godly sorrow, something happens. It changes you. Clearing of yourself, what indignation. In other words, man, you could not believe you did that. You don't believe you said that. You don't believe you looked at that. You don't believe, man, I can't believe that. That's not who I am. And you start getting indignant that you had fallen into the trap of the enemy. He said, whoa, no, that's not me. Just because you sin doesn't mean you're a sinner. If you continue in sin, now we can say you're a sinner. All right? Now you're lawless. But if you repent of your sin and you confess your sin, then I'm going to say to you, you're not a sinner. You've sinned. Amen? We all do. But it's not a continuing lifestyle, ignoring what God said, just doing whatever you want to do. Hallelujah. Indignation, what fear? He's not talking about fear like the world gives. He's talking about godly fear. The fear of God himself. He's God. He saved you. He's your God. He keeps you. He watches over you. He protects you. He provides for you. And you don't want to do anything to get outside of that hedge of protection about you. That place where you recognize that it's God himself who's taking care of this kid. Amen? You don't want to get out of there. So you get this godly fear of reverence before God. You don't want to leave that. All right, let's go on. What zeal? True repentance gets you back into the fire of the Holy Spirit. A zeal for God's word. A zeal to do what he asked you. A zeal to share the good news. A zeal. Look, when you're forgiven, just think of it this way. If you commit adultery and you go to your husband or your wife and you confess you committed adultery and they say, I forgive you, doesn't that make you want to please them more? Amen. You want to do more for or him. You have a zeal again, that fire again to help, to do and please. And that's what happens when you truly have a godly repentance. You just want to please him. Man, he kept you out of the fires of hell. And you're on your way back because you had not done what God told you to do. You're on your way. Now, can you sin and go to hell right away? No. But it's the beginning of the road. To me, it is. You can sin and not go to hell. You understand? But if your heart says, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want to do, you're in danger. My belief, you're in danger. And a lot of people get mad at me, go, oh, once saved, always saved. He said, if you continue to the end. Continue in what? In what he told you to do. Amen? Because remember again, he said, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart is just as important as your mouth confession. Your confession to God that you've sinned is just as important as what's going on in your heart at the moment you confess it. Don't ever forget that. And this is, look, at again, I'm going to take you back in a minute if I get into the message. This is not something that you struggle with on a continuous basis. You don't get sin conscious. You're not worried about what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do. You're not. Because if you're led by the Spirit, you'll be fine. You walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Word of God says, you make sure, how do I know I'm being led by the Spirit? If you've got the Spirit of God in you, you are being led by the Spirit. There's just a struggle going on between the flesh and the spirit, between the mind and the spirit. There's a war going on there. And it's kind of, listen, like I said to you, I did not hate all the sin I was in. You understand that? I didn't look at my life and say, oh, you are nothing but a dirty sinner, and you're going to hell. No. One day I was drunk on my way home, and I said, Lord, I didn't say Lord. I just said, there's got to be more to life than this. That was the opening God needed. And he started getting to me. And it took a lot of years to get to me to that where I'm at today. Trust me. And I got a long way to go if he allows me to stay around. There's a lot of perfection still being done. There's a lot of working out of my life. So sin, I've recognized by the word of God that sin is detrimental to my well-being while I'm here on earth. The Bible says if you sin, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. I'll show you in a minute here. Hallelujah. Let me go on. Hallelujah. Where did I end up? Verse 11? Okay, I'm not finished here yet. What zeal. What vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong, nor for the sake of him who suffered wrong, but your care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. He said, this is not about what you did and who was done to. It's not about that. It's about you and God. And he didn't want them to have a relationship with God that was muddled with sin. And it does. The Bible very clearly tells us our sin separates us from the very presence of God. The more sin we allow in our life without dealing with it, just ignoring, pretending it's not there, it's going to affect us in many areas of our lives. This stuff is real. It is real. Satan is going to go into the pit of hell because of lawlessness, of sin, of rebellion against God. And that same entity has messed up the whole world. The whole world. Everything you see out there. That's why everybody in there, everybody's down there, well, what can we do? We can arm the teachers. We can get rid of all guns. And we can do this and we can do that. But not once do I ever hear them say, we can put God back in the schools. When you take away good, there's nothing but evil left. Why do they suppose? Look what we got. We got people teaching our kids. Antichrist spirit is teaching our kids in the schools. And we wonder why they come out the way they do. Why they got all this stuff going on in their mind. This kid said he heard voices speaking to him. What voice? It wasn't the Spirit of God. Because they won't let the Spirit of God in the school. So that kid wouldn't know the Spirit of God's voice from the devil's voice. Matter of fact, the devil's voice would be more clear to him. I'm not making excuses for it. I'm just telling you what's going on in the world today. And if you don't think that doesn't affect the churches, it does. Churches are being affected by the same exact thing. He said, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. Jesus went to the cross because of sin. He wanted to destroy the works of the devil. The sin that the devil brought into the world through Adam and Eve. Was man part of it? Yes, they were complicit with it. They were part of this whole mess. Because they submitted to it. But we don't have to submit to it. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have the Word of God. David said this, he said in Psalm 119, I hid your word deep within my heart that I might not sin against you. Speaking about God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I once asked the Lord, how come sin can't enter into heaven anymore? I believe what he told me. And I'm not saying this is... I can't prove it other than this. He said, because Jesus presented his blood, and his blood has cleansed heaven, and it can never again enter in through that blood. When you start realizing you overcome, what are you overcoming? What are you overcoming? You're overcoming sin. You're overcoming the flesh. You overcome by the what? Blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen? We don't have to wait to heaven. Here. Heaven on earth. We can see it right now. Praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where am I? Where do I want to go now? No, I lost my mind. I didn't lose my mind. I lost my track. Yes. I thought the Lord gave me. I told you I wanted to take you someplace and show you something. And I don't remember where I was going to take you and show you now. Isn't that awful? All right. Yes, amen, amen. Lord, help me. Okay, I'm just going to go on, Lord, unless you bring a... Where was it? I know Romans. Was it Romans? I don't know. Okay. I can't spend more time doing this. Praise God. He'll bring it to me and I'll do it another time. Otherwise, I'm going to just take it to Eden. Well, all right. Hallelujah. Okay. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Go into Galatians. Now again, I want you to know something. You are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus over sin. Sin is not more powerful than Jesus. Not more powerful than you. You just have to understand and recognize what's going on here. That he's trying to get a hold of your life. And he will use it. Look, he's not going to go after me with something that I'm not lusting after. And I hate to use that word because that's such a strong word. Where I have been weak in areas of my life, the enemy knows where I've been weak. He's been around me a long time, just as long as God, well, probably longer than the Holy Spirit in me. But he's been around, and he knows what he can tempt me with. Do you understand that? Adam and Eve walked by that tree for a long time. We don't know how long, but for a long time. And I'm sure they stopped and admired the tree. I'm sure they looked at that and said, Well, God said no. I'm going to go on my way. But one day, for whatever reason, maybe she spent a little too long looking at it, meditating on it, spending time. That's when the enemy gets you. Hallelujah. Amen? So he's going to use things in my life, my past history, my things to come for me, to tempt me, same as he will with you. Whatever it is, he knows what can get to you. The thing you cannot do, you cannot afford to do, is to justify your sin. Do not accept it. That's not who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're not that sin. That's your old man. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So don't you become complacent, accepting. Yes, the battle is great and you might fall at some times, but get back up. Confess your sin. God knows. He's not going to kill you. He's not going to destroy you. He's not going to reject you because you sinned. He's not. But if you don't turn to the one who can forgive you and cleanse you of it and remove it and give you the power and the strength to overcome it, he's got to let you go because that's your choice to make. And he'll never force you to follow him. Never. Amen. All right, Galatians. That told you where to go, right? I want to show you something here. 5. Well, all you're doing is talking about sin. Yeah, that's what the message is about. Yeah. What else am I going to talk about? Oh, by the way, the Gospels speak much about sin. The Word of God. The Scriptures. Amen? Much. Look what he says here. Let's start in 16. Hallelujah. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Remember what I told you? There's a war going on. The flesh is not this here. The flesh is the soulish realm that you has not been saved yet, hasn't been renewed to God's Word and through the Spirit. We haven't been, remember we said three parts, the Spirit, soul, and body. The body is just a tent. It's just a vehicle. I was on I got a little scared the other day. Not a scare. I would say a scare. I was uncomfortable in my chest area, and it reminded me of the early heart attack that I had. And so I got concerned about it. So I said to Diane, maybe I should get checked out just to be sure, because some of the symptoms seemed to be there. So I went and. I was there for a couple hours. I went to my cardiologist, went in, sat with him. They went through all these tests, ultrasound, another one. And anyways, I was there for a few hours anyways while they did that. And as I laid there, they were doing the ultrasound, and this the technician doing it was a young girl, and she was talking about her uncle, who's a very strong Christian. How we got on it, we were talking about, you know, naturally, what comes up in conversation? Jesus. What else comes up? You know, I don't care if you're talking about the NFL. Jesus comes up. I don't care if you're talking about what happened down in Florida. Jesus comes up. I don't care if you're talking about hot dogs and beans. Jesus comes up. It doesn't matter. Jesus is going to come out in the conversation. So I'm there with her for probably 45 minutes at least, maybe an hour. And all we talked about was Jesus. She's not a believer. Her uncle keeps telling her she got to get into the Word, she got to do it. I just told her, you just got to learn, trust God. And I explained to her, and she didn't, because she's not scripturally aware. I shared with her, because she's got a good heart. She's very concerned about her patients. She's very upset that at times she can't help them like she wants to help them. So at the end of our conversation, towards the end, I said, this might help you a little bit. I said, I want you to know that man is made up of three parts. He's a spirit. He lives in a body. He has a soul. She never heard that before, obviously. I said, what you're dealing with is the body. It's just a body. I said, you can't help what's really going on, because all you're dealing with is the body. It's like a car. I said, if you get in your car, it's just a car. The person in it is what's important. And until you learn to deal with the body as just a vehicle, you'll always be consumed by what's going on. The problem isn't the body. It's what's in the body. And she kind of went, huh? But she finally got it. Something I forgot to tell you, I should have told you, and I apologize, so I'll bring it out now, anyways. At the end of my time there, I'm sitting there, the doctor comes in. He goes, well, we checked everything over, your blood's good, your heart, you know, the ultrasound is good, and the EKG is all good, and everything's good, there's nothing wrong. He said, matter of fact, I looked for the damage to the heart that was there before, I can't find it. He said, I can't find the damage to the heart that was there before. I said, okay. Okay. They want me to go for a stress test, which I'll do. I could use the exercise anyway, so I don't mind. But I didn't say anything. I said, oh, praise God. How many know God's got a way of doing things? Amen? All right, let me finish here. Where were we? That's how I got to that point. Okay. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Remember what Paul said? Those things I don't want to do, I seem to do, and the things I do want to do, I don't seem to do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me out of this? Who? And then he tells you, Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus, you ought to grab that one. Who's going to deliver me out of this? I keep trying, I keep doing those things I don't want to do, I keep doing them. But that's who you go. Remember what he said, go to him. He's not going to turn you away. And if you ask for a bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you've got a heart that's hurting, you've got a heart that's dealing with issues in your life, and you just can't seem to get through it, go to him. Go to him. Yeah, but I don't see. Remember we talked, this isn't something you're going to see overnight. I know that God is working in me. He said he will continue to work in me until that day when I stand before him. That means my whole life I'm going to be dealing with issues. But I'm not going to let the issues deal with me. I'm going to be the victor. I'm going to be the overcomer. Not in my own strength and not my own wisdom, not my own understanding, not none of that in Christ. Amen? Let's go on here for a second. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also tell you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We know the world out there who practices such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we continue to operate like that in those things without even considering what they are. What is the kingdom of God? Romans 14, what did he say? The kingdom of God is not something you see, but it's inside of us. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in each and every one of us because he dwells within us, but his purpose and his work is to get us out of sin and walk in righteousness. So that we can experience the kingdom of God. Why do we want to experience the kingdom of God? Because it brings righteousness. I don't have them with me. I wish I did, but I don't think I do. I have a list of scriptures. I don't know if I got it here. Let me see real quick. I don't think so. List of scriptures. I don't have them. Maybe I'll remember to bring them next time. No, sorry. Of what God says about the righteous and the blessings that come to the righteous. Amen? Blessings that come to the righteous. It's amazing. You go through Psalms and Proverbs especially, you just blow you away if you look at all the things God says about the righteous. And then you realize, oh, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am righteous. Amen? But also it says that sin will separate you from God. So the very blessings and the power of God that emanates and flows out of the kingdom of God to overtake our lives and make our lives so that it glorifies him slowly but surely ebbs away because we allow sin to encroach and sin to overtake our very lives, our very existence. And remember, the kingdom of God is not just what the Holy Spirit's doing, it's but what you are doing. He said, keep your mind on the things above, not the things below. Focus on God. Listen, it doesn't mean you walk around with a Bible in your hand 24 hours a day. Like this. Oh, I got to go to work. I got to drive, but I got to keep the Bible. No. You remember something. When you got the Holy Spirit, the one who wrote this, who dictated it, let me put it that way, is in you. He's your teacher. And if you're truly seeking after him, he will reveal to you things that you had not even read yet, because he is the one revealing it to you. And all of a sudden, you'll get into a place where it seems like, oh man, nobody's looking. I can. The Holy Spirit says, no, 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 no. What's done in secret, he said, I'll manifest openly. All those things you see what's going on in Washington and Hollywood, all that stuff been done in secret all these years. Maybe not secret to certain people. They all see it and, you know, they cover it up or whatever. But it doesn't seem funny that now all of a sudden it's being exposed. Amen. Who do you think's exposing it? The devil? No. We got a leader in there. He may not be perfect and far from it, but guess what? Neither are we. For all those righteous, self-righteous, I would say, Christians who condemn Trump because he does not speak the right way, act the right way, or seem to be more boisterous or proud or whatever it is, God's still working in that man. And I'm going to tell you what, if any of us have been put in that position that he's in, how many of us would have wilted by now? How many of us would have been wilted by now? It's by the grace of God that he stands where he stands, doing what he's doing. And because of the grace of God is operating now out of the White House, it's affecting the rest of this world, or the United States at least. And all that junk that's been hidden is starting to come out. Amen. Why? Because they refuse to repent and turn to God and confess their sins and ask for forgiveness. God says, you don't want to forgive me? You don't want to come to me? All right. Here's who you really are. You understand? Don't you let yourself get in that position. You understand? He does not expose evil unless evil tries to stay hidden. He said love covers a multitude of sin. The first thing he wants you to do is continue in love so that he can cleanse you over a period of time. Maybe some things quick, maybe some things slower. But either way, That's his goal, because he knows if there's sin that's hidden or sin that continues without repentance, he said what's going to happen is the devil's got a hold of you, just like those people in Washington and Hollywood. They've been blackmailed. And the devil will blackmail you if he can. Don't think he won't. He's the author of that. Glory to God. Where are we? Praise God. So the kingdom of God, if we continue operating in the flesh, allowing sin to continue to operate in our lives without any regard to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, and not acknowledging the truth, we're going to eventually end up just like the rest of them. You don't want to miss the kingdom of God. That's all I can say. You don't want to miss it. His word is true. Don't try to make a go around. Take it for what it says. It's as plain can be. It's as plain can be. He's not, there's not something, well, he just metaphorically meant sin. He really didn't mean sin, because grace is sufficient. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds more. But grace is the power of God to overcome sin. That's what grace is for. It's also, grace is also to do the work of the ministry God's called you into. There's grace for that. There's grace in time of stress and battle with the enemy when he's overcoming and you just don't think you're going to make it. God's grace is sufficient. Amen? Grace is used in many areas. But grace really, to me anyway, grace is the power. Here, I call grace this. This is what I call grace. The power of God's love manifested in the life of a believer. Because if love is manifested and you're operating in love, you'll do everything Jesus tells you to do. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So, I'm not done in this area yet because I didn't get into my message. So I'm going back next week. We're going to get into it. And I want to take you someplace. To me, is one of my heroes of faith. You know, the faith, Hebrews 11, he got a list of people of faith. Well, this one is one of my heroes. One of them, not all of them, because they're all heroes to me. These are true heroes. Anyways, there's others. But I want to talk to you about David and sin. Amen. David and sin. Praise God. That's next week. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We give you praise.